Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. Visit speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a most interesting author with me. She is Margie Walker. Margie is a graduate of Texas Southern University, earning her bachelor's and a master's of arts in speech communication. Following a short stint at Colorado State University with an interest in radio and television, she most recently studied anthropology at the University of Houston. She has held a number of positions in the communications field, from program director at KTSU, editor with the Houston Defender, and adjunct professor in the TSU School of Communications. And writing is merely an extension of her love for communication. As a published author, Margie celebrates the fruition of ideas and characters, beginning with the book Love Signals in 1991, under the now defunct Marin Publishers, followed by 9 novels and 4 novellas published in romance, romantic suspense, and mystery, to include the latest book, Stolen Moments. She has been busy studying another writing form, movie shorts and screenplays. Her first attempt, In Blood Only, title of both a short and an ebook, follows the story of Layla Griffin and homicide detective Paul Diamond, who originally appeared in the book Remember Me. The short film can be seen on the website margiewalker.net. And in 2012, her first competitive short screenplay, Tryin' Times, won at the Tribeca Film Festival, which she later produced. And meanwhile, Margie is working on the second mystery and readying for the 2016 Austin Film Festival, where her short screenplay, Plum Blossom, is a second rounder. So we have quite a lot to talk about. So let's bring her in. Welcome to the show, Margie.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let me tell you, it's been a fun time. It's been a crazy time just thinking about Plum Blossom. I am excited for the film festival.
When is that?
That will be October 13th through the 21st, I believe.
All right, so that is coming up. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you are an exciting lady. We got lots to talk about. But I want to start with your website, margiewalker.net. It says, Margie Walker, published author, writer, screenwriter, amateur photographer, general all-round creative aspirant, or some people might say aspirant. I love that. How and why did you decide to use those words as your description?
I couldn't find one thing to say. And, you know, you don't want to seem arrogant about what you do, mm-hmm. but you do need to come up with something to cover everything that you do. Mm-hmm. So that is basically all I did. And let me tell you, I had a friend to tell me one day, he says, oh, your photography is so professional. I love it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but I'm not a professional. I'm not a professional. And she was like, girl, please get over it. So I started to get over it. Do those things that I like.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was quite telling of who you are. So now, when did you decide to start writing?
I started writing as a kid. Like most of my buddies who still write, particularly in romance, started young trying to figure out stories, how to tell them, what kind of people to have in them, what words to use, things that, oh man, let me tell you something, my friend and I, one of them, we would sit down and just try and come up with words that were not so common, mm-hmm. just to kind of describe our characters and what have you. Mm-hmm. So writing for me started a long time ago, and I just kind of kept going and finally decided romance was going to be the first genre that I would tackle. Mm-hmm. And that, what can I say? Mm-hmm. It worked. I got published.
Now, are all of your books considered romance or romantic suspense and mystery?
Yes, mm-hmm. those are the different formats.
Okay.
Yeah, romance, strictly, those have no, there's no mystery in them, nothing to solve. The relationship is strictly between the hero and the heroine, mm-hmm. and their interpersonal and intrapersonal conflicts, mm-hmm. As they, you know, maneuver that whole love journey. Those that are romantic suspense always have a backstory of something happened to one or the other in the background that physically affects them achieving their goal. Mm-hmm. And of course, mystery is, you know, what it says. Mm-hmm. It's trying to figure out either who done it and or why something was done, mm-hmm. and then of course by whom.
Why do you think you're drawn to those genres?
The romance part was easy. I think I was working on my master's degree and asked a friend. I just had a new baby and asked a friend. I was like, you know, can you please come and give me a hand here? And this was one of my dear friends. And she says, oh, okay. So she's holding the baby while I go to the library and do that work and stuff. So now I've gotten all my notes, and I'm back, and I'm talking about chi-square and all of these wonderful things I'm learning in this graduate class. And she says, you are boring. You need to get a life. So she gave me a romance book. And I was like, are you kidding? Mm-hmm. She says, read it. You need to release your mind, girl. I did, and that was it. I was hooked. Next thing I knew, I was going to the drugstore following that whole, okay, four came out a month, right? Mm-hmm. And I was on top of them. I gobbled them up. Yep. And joined RWA.
Okay.
And say, wow, you know. What's missing from this, of course, was stories, you know, with characters of color. Mm-hmm. And I started to dream and think, you know, maybe I could do this. Mm-hmm. Could I do this? And, you know, started writing, started going to the conferences, the local RWA and then the national RWA, and then networking with a lot of other African-American writers who felt the same way that I did, and we would get together at places or even on the phone and just kind of brainstorm, talk about each other's stories and talk about, you know, okay, that doesn't make sense. You need to do something different here. You know, that kind of stuff, that kind of help is what we used to give each other. And finally, I think it was the RWA in St. Louis, and it was the first time the black writers got a chance to have a workshop. And basically, we wanted a workshop that would, you know, encourage us and more writers to keep writing, to mm-hmm. not give up, even though you haven't seen any black romances, know that it's possible, right. Blah, 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 you know.
Yes.
And met this editor named Monica Harris at that conference, and a very impressive young woman, and she talked about the new line of black romances that Kensington was going to produce under the Arabesque name. And needless to say, we were all on cloud 10. I had lunch with her one of those days, and of course talked, you know, babbled ad nauseum about my aspirations to write romance with characters of color, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, I get back home. Maybe 2 months later, I get a call from her saying she wanted to buy my book. And I was like, what? And I had submitted a sweet refrain, never thinking it was going to go anywhere. And she was like, yes, we want a sweet refrain. Mm. And I called my friend Frances Ray, who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. She lived in Dallas. I say, Frances, I got a call. And she said, Margie, I got a call too. So we were, you know, all jumping up and down over the phone. You can imagine our excitement at getting contracts for that and being wanted as writers. Mm-hmm. So that's. Yeah, even though I'd had one published before, this was the first one with a company with longevity, mm-hmm. As a track record.
Right, right.
So, Yeah.
And what you said is very important. Many times writers, they're by themselves and they don't reach out. But what you were saying is that community, that feeling of getting out and joining different groups and guilds and meeting other people, that's what really can propel you and your writing future, I think.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. After each conference, everybody was ready to go home
yes.
and employ what they learned, mm-hmm. You know, when we would set up conferences, like, okay, you go to this one, you go to that one, you go to that one. Okay, let me see your notes and that kind of thing. Or else we would go to somebody's room and just chat. You know, this is what I heard. Well, what did you think about this? Well, you know, so-and-so did a book and it didn't. Well, guess what? And you talk about why some writers could get away with things that new writers can't get away with. And I'm sure that conversation still carries over with new writers who don't know that they really have to follow the rules in the very beginning and that they will not be able to break some rules that some of the older, you know, standard writers can get away with.
Sure, kind of like paying your dues.
Right.
Yes.
Got to pay your dues.
Yep. Now, your first book was called Love Signals.
Yes.
Right. And then you wrote 9 novels and novellas. Did those follow each other quickly, one after the other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right after Kensington bought A Sweet Refrain, the editor called and said, I want you to do a Kwanzaa romance. And I was like, okay, when is that due? She says, oh, I'll need it by October. And I was like, right, what? This is August, so I got to write something that fast, and I'm still trying to make the corrections, blah, blah, blah. So needless to say, you know what you say. Yes, I can.
Yeah, there you go.
And I did, and got that first novella with my two buddies at the time, Donna Hill and Francis Ray. We were all together in Spirit of the Season.
Oh, my.
Yeah, very nice.
Oh, what a time for you. Well, now tell us about one or two of your favorite ones, the favorites that you've written, or if you have any favorites.
Well, I'll tell you, when I did Indiscretions, I started getting mail from guys in prison. They really like Indiscretions.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember one that I got. I could not believe it was so immaculately written. The language was great. I was like, brother, why are you in jail? You are so intelligent. But anyway, he liked Indiscretions. And my brother, who has since passed away, also loved Indiscretions. And I was like, what was it about Indiscretions?
Mm-hmm.
So, he neither could explain to me what the real attraction was, and I'm guessing it's because my hero was named Perry Mason McDonald. So I think they kind of just like that name.
Interesting.
You know, and my heroine was, a perky, pesky kind of person, so... I don't know. Maybe it was the woman that they really got into.
Oh, my gosh. That's so interesting. Yeah, to try to figure out what the attraction was.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now you're into movie shorts and screenplays. Do you feel that that was a natural progression after having written so many books?
Yes. It has definitely been natural. But I tell you, I am working hard. I am really studying this. This genre is very different. In books, you write how people are feeling. You write full descriptions of what the place looks like. But you can't write feelings in the screenplay, because how do you describe she looked at him with love? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that look of love look like? It's been a challenge, and the first writing was my attempt at a feature, and it was so bad. A friend of mine who used to teach screenwriting, I mean, was real kind, and I said, okay, maybe I'm trying too much. So I went back and, of course, did some more reading, some more studying, and decided to try the shorts. And the shorts I could concentrate just a little bit better on, and you know, improve as I got, you know, as the writing progressed, as my understanding of the genre and what's required increase. Mm-hmm. So that's how I moved into that. Mm-hmm. Trying Times was the one I submitted to the Tribeca in 2012 and won, and it sat around for a while because I didn't know what else to do with it. I was still not savvy enough in the business to know. I really should have been sending it out to other competitions. Mm-hmm. I just let it sit on the wall,
Okay.
And finally a director called and said he wanted to do it, and he wanted me to be the producer for it. Mm-hmm. So
wow.
I was like, okay,
yeah.
We'll see how this works. We are in post-production. I used to call it hell, but we're beginning to see the light. I hope to have it done by before the end of the year.
Okay.
But meanwhile, I joined a group, a local screenwriting group, and met a young guy named Will Wu, who wanted to partner with me on writing some scripts that we were going to do locally. And he was like, well, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, okay, Will, I don't have a problem having Chinese characters, but I'm not into the kung fu stuff. So let me see what else I can do with this. And just started doing some research and just fell in love with this plant called the plum blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it morphed from there. I'm really pleased with it. Of course, I'm real delighted that it's a second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of hoping for a number one win, but, you know, this is only my second rodeo. So
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe next time will be better.
You just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, how exciting that you produce Trying Times. I just think that you're moving at a pretty breakneck speed here. I also watched your short film In Blood Only on the homepage of your website, and I want to know what happens.
You have to buy the ebook.
Darn you.
Oh, man. My good buddy, who's also my editor on this particular thing, had also been after me about trying to do film. And I'm like, you know, this is not me. But I had done In Blood Only because I couldn't get the characters out of my head. They originally appeared in the story Remember Me, which was supposed to have been my swan song with Kensington. And but Layla Griffin and Paul Diamond said, we're not done. We're not done with you. So I wrote this story that I really loved, and I'm like, okay, now I have to produce it myself. I'm absolutely horrible at promotion. What do I do? And my buddy James says, well, let's do a short. I was like, oh, okay, let's try that. What do we have to do? So, of course, Margie had to go and do the reading and the writing and finding the actors, and we shot it in my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I did, of course, the set design. I grabbed my husband, who did the who helped with the mic.
Oh.
We shot it on a Saturday in about 3 or 4 hours, and voila.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, after that, I was just, okay, I'm hooked now. I'm hooked. Now I'm ready to make more movies. I worked on a couple of movie productions in town, a couple of shorts I did for other people, and worked on a feature as a set props master. Sorry,
yeah.
Those are basically the titles I've done with the movies that I worked on, either props or set designer. And this is learning. You're talking about on the job training?
Yes.
That's how I learned to do those things. And it was fun.
Yeah.
There's no money, but I had a good time.
Hey, that's how you learn. That's called In Blood Only.
Yes, definitely In Blood Only.
Okay. In Blood Only. Wow. Yeah. So much. On your website, you also have a tab that's titled Musings. And I want to go there for a minute because I was quite interested to have you share the first one that's called Don't Mess Up the Rue. I love that. It's a poem that you follow up with a conversation about grandmothers. And I just found that to be very important. Do you want to talk about that for a bit?
I met a fine artist. She teaches at Prairie View, as a matter of fact. And crazy, I mean, a unique background. This is a black woman who was born in Germany and grew up in, like, Montana or something like that. I was like, you're the first person I've met from a place like that in the United States. But she got a chance to do an exhibit and asked me if I would like to do the write-up. And I was like, oh, okay, so what are we writing about? So the whole concept was the roux, the gumbo roux. Mm-hmm. And she gave me no, just be imaginative, be creative. Let's see what you come up with, was the kind of freedom I got from her. And that is how I did that. I was... That year, there was a whole lot going talk about grandmothers raising their children's children.
Yes.
Particularly in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes when you start seeing things a lot, you're like, have we changed? What's up? Why am I seeing more older women with these young kids? And... I was teaching creative writing at an elementary school, and I remember a grandmother came, not the mother, to deal with a young kid who had a situation with the teacher. And I was like, wow, grandmother just can't get a break here.
Mm-hmm.
You think once you have your children...
Yeah, you're done.
You're done. But at one point, it seemed as if grandmothers were just not done. Mm-hmm. So... That's how Don't Mess Up the Rue came out.
I hope folks head over to your website to read that. It touched me. Your website is margiewalker.net over on the Musings page, because relationships are obviously very important. And speaking of relationships, what does your family think of Margie Walker, the published author, writer, screenwriter, amateur photographer?
let's see. My youngest son, who... okay, I'll be in town this weekend. Will you make me a gumbo? nothing that they say to you. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I'm sure they're proud
yes.
and everything.
Yeah.
But there's no bragging. My mom does this. None of that. None of that. Forget it.
Oh my gosh, that's okay. You know, they're learning from you silently just to see what a strong person you are and how creative and how to move forward. I'm sure there's a lot of lessons there that they're learning without saying anything.
Oh yeah,
yes.
I see them every day. I mean, not physically, but when I listen to their conversations mm-hmm. and the things that are on their minds and how they're, you know, building their lives, I see something stuck. You know, something.
Obviously, you're a good mom. Well, let's head over to your writing process. Once you come up with your idea for a book, what happens next?
I need my people. Who's going to tell this story? And how is it going to end? And who's going to care about it? I've got to know who's going to care about this story. That's one of the important questions that an editor will ask you, that even a producer asks. Who's your audience for this?
Mm-hmm.
So once I can answer those questions, then I start building taxonomies, words, languages, the language that I'd like to use, descriptions of the characters. How do I show, if I say he's a mean person, how do I show he's a mean, you know, he's a meanie?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it sounds simple and natural to me that I don't, The only thing I really fret over, I guess, is the particular word. I like to use different words. I don't like to use the same word over and over. I hope my writings are different. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
I don't want to write the same person, the same story over and over again.
Yep, because that's quite obvious. And so your characters, do you write them or do they direct you?
Nope, you're always in control. I used to think that my characters were in control. And it's like, okay, if your characters are in control, who's sitting in this chair? Okay. Who's sweating bullets now because you can't think of the next thing to write, you know? And it is definitely you have to take control. You have to make them do what they are supposed to do. So that's how I absolved that. I mean, solve that problem. We know who's in control.
There you go.
We know who's in control.
Because some folks say, oh, they have a general idea, and then the characters kind of take off by themselves and lead them around. And I always wondered how that happened, how you would separate yourself from that character. So I'm interested to hear what you just said.
And when you do let your characters take control, you lose your story.
Mm-hmm.
I know that because when I was doing Indiscretions, I got so into it. You know, I'm like, oh, man, my characters are going here, here, and here. And I got to chapter 13, and I said, guess what? This is a mystery. This is not a romance. My editor's not going to go for this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second line was, well, maybe she will. Why don't you ask her? So I call Monica. I say, Monica, I got 13 chapters, but guess what? I don't think it's a romance. It's starting to sound like a mystery. She says, send it to me. Let me see. And I did, and she says, yeah, it's a mystery. You got to change it. I said, well, can't I just do a mystery this time, and the next book I'll do a romance? She says, nope, 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 nope. Your contract requires you to do a romance. So, needless to say, I have to go back, and now I know, do not let characters have their way, because they will get you in trouble.
There you go. and take up some time as well, huh?
That's right.
Oh, my
That's
gosh. Right. Well, now, do you have any advice then for aspiring or even seasoned authors?
You know, everybody's so different about how they approach this.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the thing I would say is know what you want so you're not disappointed if you don't get it. But you at least try for it.
Yeah.
But you got to know what you want first. If you don't know what you want, then you'll be out there floundering and disappointed when you don't get something, even though you didn't know what you want and you know you didn't get the desired results, which of course is either a book contract or a check or some type of recognition.
There you go.
So, you know, when you do something, know what you want to have come of it.
There you go. And that's how you measure your success or not. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Well, now I know there's so much more we could talk about. Is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about today?
Ooh. I don't think we missed anything.
All right.
You have been so very thorough. My goodness.
Oh, you're awesome. I mean, I have more questions, but maybe we'll have to do another interview some other time. Where can folks go then to learn more about you and purchase your books?
All of my books, of course, are at Amazon.com. And my website is www.margiewalker.net, which you mentioned before. And if you go there, I think I put my new email address up. But if not, it's mwalker.walker15@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to encourage everyone to head over to your website, margiewalker.net, and your email is mwalker.walker15@gmail.com. Right?
Thank you so much, Pat.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Margie. It's been just a pleasure, really, to get to know you and know a little bit more about you and to share you and your work with our listeners. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, and thank you for giving me this opportunity. I really appreciate it.